the time for the youth to head out. They can head out to their programs this morning upstairs in the shed, or upstairs up the hill in the shed. We're going to jump straight into it. Like I said, we're in between series at the moment, so we're looking at a few different things over the next few weeks. The first thing I want to talk about is a little bit about, actually I had the Morrises, Joe and Gareth are back from Europe. They spent 6 weeks in Europe, and she said that they got lost a fair bit. Is that true? You got stories of getting lost. Well, I'm going to share a few stories. This one here is this poor lady here. Now, she blames it on her GPS. You know the GPS that gives you directions? And she said that she just was following the GPS and it directed her to the golf course straight into the bunker. The police said that she may have spent too much time in the 19th hole. But we don't know if that's true or not. Here's another one. This guy here is an actual poor guy, is a courier delivery guy, and he was using his GPS to deliver his parcel, whatever. And he ended up being on a footpath. Somehow he got stuck on this footpath. Eventually the GPS said, turn around. And they had to literally chopper him out. They had to chopper his car out or his van out from that. This is what he actually said. He said, I was lost and I kept hoping that each little turn would get me back on the main road. In the end, it told me to turn around, but of course I couldn't by then. Imagine trying to do a three-point turn there. This one here, three women escape after GPS system in a rented Mercedes drives them straight into a lake. They actually went, it was a bridge as well, not a bridge, you know how you have like, what do you call a little jetty that kind of shoots out into this lake, so they actually kept driving. I think at that stage you would think, maybe the GPS is not telling us the truth, but that didn't stop them. And here's an Australian one, some Japanese tourists. Can anyone tell me where that is? No, that's the Spirit of Tasmania, I think, on the background, maybe, oh, maybe not, I'm not sure. North Stradbroke Island, okay, on the Australian coast. GPS, now apparently the tide goes out, and so these Japanese tourists thought they could drive across the sand. 9 miles, water, mud, Moreton Bay there, and obviously the tide comes in a bit, and the old little Getz, is that Hyundai? Good car, but it's probably not gonna get the job done there. Trying to get back on solid ground. They did end up in Tasmania. That's not where they were going. And my favourite one doesn't actually have a picture, but this is one of a 60-year-old lady who started her new job. This was in the US as a bus driver, school bus driver. And so the kids have hopped on the school bus and she's driving along and she got lost. Now, obviously over there, it can be a little bit tense when it comes to schools and kids and buses and all that kind of stuff. The kids didn't arrive at school on time, so the police were contacted. They actually thought that this lady who was lost was trying to kidnap the school kids. Now, she went over state lines. So as soon as you go over state lines, the FBI are called and involved. And so they end up putting helicopters and choppers trying to stop this poor lady. And she was just genuinely lost. Poor thing, all to say that she quit her job after she was pulled over by police with guns and all that kind of stuff. She made the wrong turn and got lost and lost her job. Lucky she wasn't charged for kidnapping. But there you go, getting lost. I'm sure you can share some good stories where you've gotten lost. I've gotten lost a few times. Generally, it's because my wife has given me directions. No, shouldn't say that. She's pretty good at directions, actually. Because she found me. Anyway, let's keep moving. We're looking at what does it feel when you get lost. It's a horrible feeling, isn't it? Especially when you know you're the stubborn one who didn't look for the directions, you didn't check the map, but you look for signs. And signs are really important when it comes to following directions or trying not to get lost. I was reading, this is an interesting story, you maybe heard about this, that during World War II, the Battle of Bulge, how do you say that? Did I that pretty well? There was a group of German soldiers who dressed themselves in the uniforms of the Allies. The German soldiers even used, they marked up their vehicles to look like American military vehicles. And they went through the German countryside changing. What did they change? The road sides. Yes, the sides. So when the Americans or the Allies came, they actually, quite a few of them got lost as well. This was probably before they had all the advanced technology and all that kind of stuff. But simply by changing the road signs, it caused immense confusion and actually almost caused them to win several battles just by changing the road signs. The key point here is if we don't know where we're going, it can actually be quite dangerous. Yes, we laugh about the lady in the bunker and in the lake, but actually when we look at it, a bigger picture in life, if we don't know where we're going, it can be dangerous, especially when we come to crossroads. Crossroads. This morning, I want to talk to you about crossroads. We all have crossroads in life. You might be going through a cross or facing a crossroad right now. We face crossroads at different levels, some big decisions, some are big life changing moments. Some decisions or some crossroads, you make 300-400 decisions a day and they're not very significant at all. But life is full of crossroads. We come and we make decisions. Sometimes we know where to go. Sometimes we know how to respond. We know what to do. And other times we're a little bit lost. We're a little bit confused. And then we throw in the fact, well, actually, we're followers of Jesus. What does it mean when we come to crossroads? What do we want to live for Jesus? We want him to direct our lives. And so these crossroad moments, we want to really take notice and we want Jesus to play a role in that. Crossroads remind us of the continuous choices we make each day. And so this morning, we're going to look at a passage and it comes to us, oh, there's a crossroads. That was taken up in the hills. No, it wasn't. It's a beautiful picture. But again, maybe you can relate to even just that image this morning. Maybe you find yourself right there. Do I go left? Do I go right? Which road do I walk on? Which path do I go down? And here's the passage we're going to be looking at, Jeremiah 6:16. Now, just for the context, I know this passage. Jeremiah is a prophet and he's talking to the people of Israel. He's warning that the Babylonians, they're going to come down, they're going to take us, and we're going to be taken to exile. They're going to slaughter us, they're going to do all that kind of stuff. And so Jeremiah is warning the Israelites, please, 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 turn, turn, turn. Now, they don't heed his instructions. And we know what happens, they get taken into exile. And actually, that's when we look at Nehemiah, when they start to come back. But here in Jeremiah, this passage, while I'm kind of taking it out of context, there's some really good biblical principles that we can look at this and actually say, you know what, this makes sense when it comes to crossroads in general or when it comes to making decisions. So yes, it is Jeremiah talking to the people of Israel, but we can look at this and say, well, what can we learn from it? And play it in our own context. Now again, individually we can put all this, but then also as a church we can be asking these questions. So individually, but then also collectively we can ask these questions. Let's read the passage. This is Jeremiah. It says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, if you know the passage, if you know the rest of it, it actually says, but you said, we will not walk in it. And so he's already, the response, he knows that the people of Israel have already said, no, we won't walk in it. But we're looking at this bit, and what can we draw from this in regards to our own crossroads when we come to making decisions? The first thing I find really interesting is that Jeremiah says this, this is what the Lord says, thus saith the Lord. Now you might think, well, that's not important, that's, you know, it's the Bible. But this is a really, really important thing to start with. Because what does this say? This tells us that God actually what? Speaks to us. That we believe in a God that isn't distant and remote, but actually is a God that speaks to us. Now Jeremiah is a prophet, obviously he speaks on behalf of God. Thus saith the Lord. This is what God says. That we believe that we can hear from God. That God speaks to us, that if we listen, God will talk. Now, that can be through lots of different things, but right here, this is a statement that says that God will actually communicate. This is what the Lord says. Now, if we look at the context of the people of Israel, and we see throughout their history up and down of breaking covenant and rebellion and idolatry and all those things, but really, the main problem they had was their ears. Is in they didn't listen. The Shema as in listen and apply. Listen and apply. Because when you look at idolatry and breaking covenant and rebellion, that the reason is they don't listen. And it's the same in our lives. When we don't listen, we don't apply, the listening or the ear is not just to hear, but it's to hear as in to do. It's hearing as in with action. And this is, again, crucial. We say we're believers, we say we're Christians, which means we believe in a God that communicates with us through his word, through people, through circumstances, through prayer, through directly communicating. All of those things we say God speaks to us, and that's where we want to start. God, speak to us. God, communicate to us. We believe that you can talk to us. We believe that you have something to say. My ears are open. You can't, can you close your ears? No, there's, anyway. But my ears are open, as in my ears to my heart, and my actions are open. Thus says the Lord. And the thing is, there is lots of noise out there, isn't there? So much noise. And with so many distractions. So sometimes God is actually, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, but we don't hear it because there's so much distraction. And I know you may not be comfortable with silence. I know I'm not, because even at the Anzac, we did a few Anzac things, events, sports events. When they do 1 minute silence, it feels like half an hour, doesn't it? You're like, and I'm like, man, that's got to be a minute. Come on. But it's only 30 seconds because we're not used to even the physical silence. And when it's really quiet, we really notice it. Knowing God's will, knowing God's direction, spiritual growth, learning to recognize, thus saith the Lord, learning to recognize the voice of God. Remember Jesus said, my sheep hear my what? Voice. And even when the shepherds of the day, they would just walk and the sheep would hear. They wouldn't herd them up like the Australians with the motorbikes. And from behind, they would walk and call them, come on, boy. And they would listen to the voice, maybe not like that, with a slight accent. But it's about the voice. The sheep hear the voice, they know the voice, and they follow. We need to know the voice, thus saith the Lord. I heard an interesting story about a farmer who went to New York with an American friend. And he's walking around and there's noise. New York, I don't know if you've been in New York, it's such a vibrant city. There's stuff happening and it's buzzing around. And he said, oh, I can hear stuff. I can hear something. The farmer said, I can hear something, to his friend. He said, what are you talking about? There's horns honking and the police, you know, that's that noise, all that kind of stuff. And he says, obviously there's something going on. He said, no, wait, listen, I can hear a cricket, little. You can hear that in the middle of the night, or the mosquitoes are playing in the middle of the night. He says, what do you mean you can hear a cricket? There's so much noise. And he's like, I can hear a cricket. I can hear a cricket. Anyway, he went. Eventually goes to a little pot plant there, and sure enough, there was a cricket there. He said, how did you know? How did you know there was a cricket there? He said, because I just can hear them. I'm in tune with the animals, and it's like what you want to hear, you can hear. And he said, watch this. He got a handful of coins and he threw them on the concrete, and what happened? Everyone who was walking around suddenly stopped and looked around to see if it was their money. He made a good point. He says, what you're wanting to hear, or what's important to you, you were here. I don't know why crickets are important to him, but they were. But the point is that when they dropped them, everyone kind of stopped and froze. What's important to us? What are we wanting to hear? What are we listening for? Are we listening for thus saith the Lord? That's the first thing we need to do when it comes to crossroads. Lord, speak to me. Second thing is, it says stand at the crossroads. Well, to stand at the crossroads, obviously we come there and we kind of stop. What are we supposed to do? Well, stand means literally to kind of stop and reflect, especially when it comes to big decisions. Don't just run through. I've got this. Actually take some time to think about what's happening. What kind of decision you're making? Most accidents happen at intersections because what? Someone fails to what? Stop. They just keep going. Seems like a very simple instruction, but we don't do it. Even when it comes to making decisions, we tend to also rely on our own expertise. I understand. I got this. I've got this many degrees. I've done this before. But actually, sometimes when you're at a crossroad, the best thing you can do, thus saith the Lord, I'm going to stand, which means to stop and reflect. Process this. Don't just rush through it. To actually process this. Ask the question. Think. Don't rush. Again, the busyness of life, we want to get moving. We want to make decisions straight away. And to stop and reflect actually has this kind of thinking of to kind of survey options. To look around and to survey some of the options, and sometimes the options can be a little bit overwhelming. because there's so many options. We live in a world that has so many options. I don't know if you can relate to this, but sometimes I spent my night watching TV by actually looking for something to watch. And there's so many options, and then I'm like, oh, what about this? I watch a trailer, but then I see another one. I'm like, maybe I'll watch that. And I'm like, oh, I'm tired. I'm just going to go to bed. And don't watch anything because there's too many options. An author, a psychologist by the name of Dr. Barry Schwartz, he wrote a book called The Paradox of Choice, Why More is Less. He's talking about this common dilemma that us, we're facing, in the sense that we have so many choices that we become fatigued by it and paralyzed by it. From shampoo to cheese, what type of car to buy, what suburb to live in, what school to send our kids to. So many choices. But when it comes to our life decisions, crossroads, we stop, stand, reflect, look at the options, look at possible abilities, all that kind of stuff. Just to stop and reflect. I think if we don't stop, or we don't stop and reflect, it's very hard to listen to God because we're so busy. And that might sound simple. It might sound, oh, that's so, you know, but we don't do it. We're so busy. We're moving. Stop. The Lord speaks. We stop and reflect. And we listen for silence. That sounds weird, doesn't it? To listen for silence. To remove all those distractions. Here's a study they did. You probably can't read it, but it talks about the how prolonged exposure to sweet, blessed silence has benefits for your health, benefits for your brain. To actually get away. Actually, one of the nicest times here in Parkover, when you come up early in the morning, and I'm the first one here, and I hop out of my car, and it's just quiet. It's beautiful. Beautiful. There you go, it's a compliment. You can give yourself a... Normally I'm giving you guys a hard time about the trees, but it's just nice. It's just nice and quiet. There's something about that blessed silence and the benefits. Anyone here own noise-canceling headphones? Yep. I got a pair. My wife bought me a pair a few years ago, real good ones. Like, they cover my whole... like this, and like literally it's so good, it cancels everything, the hum of the plane. And Siobhan has to now occasionally tell me I can't wear them home. Hey, you can't wear them at home. I'm like, this is such a good feeling. I just like in my own little cocoon. And but you can't, it just blocks out all that noise. Psalm 62, it's not up here on the screen. It says, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. The New Living says, I wait quietly before the Lord. It's interesting, the NIV translates the word quietly, that verse, to rest for some reason. So there's a link between rest and silence. We believe in a God that says, thus saith the Lord, as in he speaks. It means we need to stop, reflect. We need to stand and listen. And for us to be able to listen, there needs to be silence. I don't know if you can remember a few years ago, it might still be on, there was a commercial that was on TV. I'm not sure what it was advertising. It may have been one of those movie carriers where there was two people sitting down and they could watch two different programs. Did you ever see they're watching two different sports? One was watching rugby and one was watching football. And I sat, when I saw that, I was like, because they were advertising the fact that the TV can split and you've got subscriptions and you can watch what you want. I'm thinking, there's no way I could sit there and be able to watch that with that going on at the same time. I just wouldn't be able to do it. But we do that with God. We're like, God, yeah, I'm willing to listen, but we're focused on something else. We've got all this busyness. Stop, stand, listen, reflect. Look at this poem, a beautiful poem. It says, there's a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near the heart of God. That when we're silent and when we're stopped with our busyness, we're near to the heart of God. And if we want to grow as Christians, if we want to hear God, we need to remove that busyness, stop and reflect. Do you need to do some standing in your life right now? You're at a crossroad where you actually just need to stop and reflect. Remove the busyness and just be able to think. The next instruction he gives after stand is to look, Another good instruction. Look, stand at the crossroads and look. Again, it might seem pretty simple to think when you come to a crossroad that you should actually open your eyes and have a look around, but we don't do it. And we're talking a bigger picture in metaphorically, as in our own lives and decisions. Have a look around. Don't just rush into it. When I was at Lakeside, we would get American guys and girls who would come over from the US, and they would play in our basketball teams. And part of the deal is they were semi-professionals, so they'd get some money and boarding, and we'd give them a car. And we would, for some reason, I don't know why, someone in the congregation had a connection with someone who had a heap of old 1975 Volvos. Those things are basically a box. Have you seen them? On wheels. They are a bomb shelter. Like, they are solid steel, and they're literally a bomb shelter. So, like, you could, if you bump into a car with that, you're fine. The other car, the new car, is just gone right off. But we had these bomb shelter cars, and I would always, pulling out of Lakeside, there was like a little lip, and then you'd come in. And so it was hard to sometimes see the cars. And Americans, I love Americans, but they were a bit overconfident in their driving. Okay, and I'd always say, just be careful. The bomb shelter cars, they're good if you get hit. Their pickup, their speed's not great. They need a bit of momentum to get moving, okay? So when you're coming out of Lakeside, just give it a bit of time. Look both ways and look good. And there was one guy, Jason his name is, and he actually lived with us, and he was like, nah, man, I got this, man. I don't know how to drive, man. You don't have to worry about me, Aunt. You don't have to worry about me, Pastor. I got this, man. Next day, phone rings. Yo, Pastor, I got a problem, man. I got a problem. I'm like, what's wrong? I got hit by a car. I'm like, where are you? I'll come pick you up. I'm just out the front of Lakeside. And it was literally where I told him, look. I'm like, what happened? He's like, I don't know if I looked, man. I just drove. You just got to look both ways. And that Volvo was fine, by the way. The other car was bad. Look both ways. Looking implies gathering information as well. Now, making a decision, especially when it comes to following God, is not always about intellectual or having head information. It does involve that, but there is times where it's about also stepping out with faith. Like if Noah was to evaluate all the information, well, it's never rained, I'm in the middle of the desert, not going to build the boat. You get what I mean? But it doesn't mean it's void of that either. We still have to, we gather the information and we still might come to, this makes no sense on a human level, but with God, everything is possible. There's a great saying, I think Jossie Chocker, the founder of Impart, says, don't let, I'm going to butcher this quote, earthly practicalities get in the way of heavenly possibilities. Isn't it beautiful? Don't let earthly practicalities get in the way of heavenly possibilities. In the sense, sometimes we look at something, it's like, ah, it's just too big. It's just too hard from an earthly level, but from a heavenly level, this is achievable. So there's that tension there, isn't there? But there is a sense we need to stop, look, gather the information. You still may gather the information again and say, this makes no sense from a human perspective, but I'm still going to walk in this because I really believe God is calling me to it. So we still gather information. We look and we try to look at a bigger level or a deeper, big picture. Sometimes we look and we're just zeroed in on the actual decision. Maybe step back and have a look. What's the consequences of going this way? What's the consequences of going that way? Step back. Can anyone tell me what this is? If you can guess it, you get half the offering. Freddie's shaking. It's a rooster. But then if we zoom back, it's a little boy looking at the rooster. Or it's actually a little boy, see him in the window? Looking out to the rooster that's actually on the other side. But then we zoom back, it's actually a kid's play toy. Then we zoom back again, it's actually the front of a magazine. Lady on a boat's holding it. Where is the magazine? There it is. Where's the lady? I've lost her. There she is, yeah. But then we keep going back and we actually see that that's a boat on the bus. These are my types of books, actually. This is inside a book. No words. Then we actually look back and we see that it's a stamp on a I don't know why I'm showing you this. We could go for days. The point is that we got to step back sometimes to actually see the full picture. And here's a bit, that makes sense, doesn't it? Step back to see the full picture. But now I'm going to frustrate you. Well, not me, God is, because sometimes God won't show you the full picture. Yeah? Sometimes he won't. So there will be times where you step back and look and you can see, okay. But other times God is not going to show you the full picture. You still stop and look, but he's not going to show you everything. One, because if he did, you wouldn't do it. Two, because I don't know. I don't know why sometimes he doesn't show any. Maybe it's a work in progress. So sometimes we step back to get the whole picture. Other times he's not going to show us. When we look at things, when it comes to choosing the right direction to go, we still need to have an eternal perspective, put our eternal lens on. If we're followers of Jesus, if we believe in thus saith the Lord, we've got to put that eternal lens on. Not just a personal decision, not just a worldly decision, but actually ask that question. I know it's very cliche, what would Jesus do? And it's a little bit like that, but what did Jesus do? Ask that self. How would he respond? What does the Bible say? We'll get to that in a little bit. But you need to have those lens on. The other thing when it comes to looking, it's not necessarily where am I going, it's also the question we need to ask, am I heading in the right direction? Have I been heading in the right direction? Sometimes you're not even at a crossroad. Maybe you could do that even now. Am I heading in the right direction? Life passes by quick, doesn't it? I can remember when I was 21, had a full head of hair, and that seemed like yesterday. Life flies. So ask the question, am I heading in the right direction? Where am I spending my time? Where am I going? What are your concerns? What are your worries? What are you missing? What do you think you should be doing? What is life looking like? Where is life taking you? Are there things if you don't do now, what would that look like in the next 2 years if I don't make these decisions, if I don't make these changes? What will the next 2 years look like? Those types of things you need to be looking at. Is it the road I want to be on? These signs here on the freeway, if you see that, you need to turn around. Can anyone tell me what that is? It is? Well, it's not a rock, but close. Mount Bruce. Mount Bruce. This is Mount Bruce. It's about 10Ks. It's the second highest point in WA. It's not very high. But it's still, it takes a good while to hike up because you kind of start from here, over here, and then you kind of work your way up. And so as you go, there's these little piles of rocks. Anyone gone up Mount Bruce? No one? Okay, great. It's a great day, great hiking. There's these little rocks that are just kind of scattered as you head up, and they kind of keep you on the track. And so you're always looking because there's lots of little tracks. So I just kept my eyes on these. I knew there was no German soldiers would be moving them. So you just kind of follow that until you get to the top. That rock pile of rocks is only about this high, by the way. But you get to the top, and there it is. But in life, what are these? What are these in our life? What do you have that are like these things? Sorry? Are you answering the question? That was rhetorical. In your life, what do you have, though, is what I'm saying. Are there people in your life that are these little markers? What do you use to gauge whether you're on the right track? That's what we need in life. We need to be asking that question. And there's nothing wrong with saying, actually, I'm heading down the wrong way. It's time to turn. We don't like that, do we? Because we have to admit maybe we've taken the wrong direction. So look, the next one is... Oops. You want to see that one more time? There you go. Ask. Okay, so we stand. Thus says the Lord, stand, look, ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. Now, Jeremiah's talking about the prophets who have been, you know, the prophets who have gone and the people who have spoken on behalf of God for us. It's obviously we got the whole council here. We got the word of God. But you ask, it's not just the word of God. It's godly people. People who are wise, people maybe who've gone before you and people you trust, Christians and that kind of stuff. But ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. Asking means you're asking, seeking direction, seeking guidance. Who should we ask straight away? God. God, I do not know what to do here. God, I'd really like some little signposts right now. God, I want to do what you're calling me to do. I want to live the life you're calling me to live. Please give me some guidance. Give me some direction. Psalm 25, 4 to 5 says, Make me know your ways, O Lord. See, this is what the author is doing here. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Then Psalm 119, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. So the word of God is directing this person. So we want to use the word of God to direct. We want to use other Christians who are wise and who we come to. Do you have other Christians in your life who you can go to and ask these questions, who are wise, who are godly, who are not just going to say what you want to hear, but are going to say what they believe God is calling you to or give wisdom? They're the types of people we need to go to. The word of God, but also through prayer. Through prayer we ask God. Through guidance from other people, through the word of God. Go to those things. Even your previous history of where you've gone before, you would have seen God move and direct. Use that information. God, what has God done previously when I've come to Crossroads? What does that look like before? Ask those questions when it comes to, and don't be afraid to change directions. Don't be afraid to ask. Pride can get in the way of asking, can't it? Especially when, when it comes to life decisions or God stuff, we don't want to ask because then it shows like we're weak, we have weakness. Ask for the ancient ways, ask for the good ways, ask God for direction. And the last one, oh, there you go. I think this sums up Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 is an ancient path summarized up in one proverb. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. That's saying to ask, trust God, ask others. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. You know what? I think if we acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our paths. That means we may even go down some wrong paths, but we're acknowledging him. We're seeking him to the best of our ability. God's not trying to trick you. He's not going to fool you and say, you went down the wrong path. Now you're in trouble. If you seek him with all your heart, earnestly and honestly, he's not going to trip you up, is he? It's more like the, you know, when you type in your directions and it gives you a route to go, it says 36 minutes and you always try to beat it. I don't know if anyone tries to beat it. You arrive there, I'm like, I've got this. And then sometimes you're like, I know better. And you take a different, you turn right. What does it do? It reroutes it, doesn't it? I feel like God kind of does that a bit. It's not like, and the car blows up. You might as well just go home. No, it reroutes it. And then you realize you should have stayed on the original path. Because you're like, or sometimes it goes a bit quicker. But the point is this, sometimes we think that there's only one way and if I get it wrong, God is. But if you are seeking with your heart to follow God, with all your heart, to lean on him, to acknowledge him, if you go this way and that way, I don't think God's going to ant you. He's not trying to trip you up. He wants you to head in the right direction. And the last point is this, walk in it. Once we come to that, we stand, as in to stop and reflect, because we believe in a God who talks. We look, as in we gather information. We look for others. We do all that kind of stuff. We try to look beyond. We do that. We ask God, we look at the word, we ask others, then ultimately we have to walk in it. Sometimes that's easy, sometimes that's incredibly hard. It may be in a relational issue, God asks you to walk in something that's really hard. A financial issue, it's really hard. He may ask you to serve in a certain area, it's really hard. Career-wise, he may be saying, you know what, I don't want you to do that anymore, it's now time. And there comes a decision we have to make. Do we walk in this? Or do we paralyze, or we go in the opposite direction? We have to walk in it. Because remember the ear, it's not just hearing, it's also the doing part of it. And there's a beautiful, beautiful ending to this little, that passage. I think it said it at the start. That Jeremiah says that if we do all these, he says, stand, look, ask, and walk. It says, and you will find rest for your souls. What does this remind you of? Whose words does this remind you of? Yeah, Jesus says something very similar, didn't he? He said this in Matthew 11, 28. He says, come to you all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Okay? Sounds very similar. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, yoke, we know, it goes around the head of the animal. And there's two animals, and they work. There's generally a stronger animal that does the bulk of the lifting and the bulk of the directing. And Jesus is saying, well, put your head in this one and I'll do the bulk of it. Now that, we love this passage because it says, we'll get rest. But it still means what? It still means we submit, doesn't it? Who do we submit to? Yeah, to Jesus. And some of us don't want to do that. We'd rather play in the ground of my own control, and life may be chaotic and rubbish everywhere. We don't realize, because we're so stubborn, we still have to submit to Jesus and allow him to direct us and guide us. Ultimately, that's what's best for us. Ultimately, that's where we can get rest for our souls. So there's some decisions. We stand, we look, we ask, and we walk. And when we do that, again, with all the best intentions to follow Jesus, to walk in that, to do our best, this is what we will receive, and you'll find rest for your souls. I don't know if you've ever had a crossroad where you've sought God. He's given you instructions. And it may not necessarily be an easy decision, but you've had peace. You've had peace. You've walked in it, and you've had peace. That's what this is. God gives you something to do. He calls you to go somewhere or do something, and then he gives you peace in the decision. If you're still wrestling with it, if there's still this kind of, it may mean that it's not what God's calling you. I'm not saying it is. It may mean you had a bad curry the night before. But if there's this unsettledness and it's ongoing, there's a sense of, maybe I need to go back to God and ask where he wants me to head. Stand, look, ask, walk, and you'll find rest for your souls. Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious Father, we thank you again for your word. For your word, it's full of instruction and guidance. It's not just a manual, it's life-changing, it's life-giving. Father, and I don't know everyone here this morning what crossroads they are facing, but I know the human story is that we all face crossroads. We all come to points where we have to make decisions. Lord, I pray and ask if there's any major crossroads even for some people here today, that they would thus say of the Lord, that they would listen to your voice. They would stand. They would stop and reflect. They would look. They would ask. And they would walk, Lord, that you would speak to them clearly right now, Father. Just going to give you some time just to hear some silence. And maybe God will give you some direction and guidance in this silence. Father, we believe that you are a God who is not distant and remote, but rather a God who does want to communicate, who wants to guide and lead. Father, help us to be a people and a church that follows you, that hears your voice and follows. We pray this in Jesus' name.